Blog Talk Radio.
I got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule, only real folks around. If you were wondering, I'm about to tell you nothing. It's the same pretty face but a brand new smile. Same letter C, but she ain't walking, she's flying. New day making big moves. See if love found me, it can surely find you. See it.
Everybody, total empowerment, total empowerment. What's up? Hasn't it been a great month? I'm so happy to be back. I am your host, Angela Beard Hardy. Happy to be with you all. We got a hot show, another heater. We have a hot show tonight, everyone. Tonight, we will be discussing Black love. So, as I always do, I like to share with you how I came about this show topic. Looking at Facebook, you know, sometimes we get caught up where we're just scrolling through, and I saw a dear friend of mine, hopefully they'll call in sometime because they inspired this show, but I saw a post that actually had hashtag Black love. Then I saw another post, hashtag Black love. And I said, I wonder why as a culture, you know, as a race, as a culture, why do we feel like we need to identify and almost recognize and stand out and separate it from other loves? Like, I've never seen hashtag Asian love or hashtag Korean love, you know. So for me, it was like, I've never seen any other race or culture identify that. And granted, it was just a hashtag, but it provoked a lot of thought. And so I went on this tangent, and I started researching, and I started looking it up, and I was just like, why in the world, as you know, as a race, do we have to separate Black love? Is it really a different type of love? Is it a stronger love that's needed? All of these questions came about. I started to think of couples that I knew that pretty much from my eyes, of course I don't live with any of them, but from what I could see, they stood the test of time. They've shown Black love, what that concept possibly could mean for us. We're going to discuss that. And we're also going to celebrate Black love, because I think love should be celebrated in general. But after doing my research and after kind of, you know, sitting with myself as I always do, I decided that it is a need to look at it as a different label, as Black love. It is a different type of love that's demanded and required when you're speaking of two individuals. Or not even, it's not even a race thing. It's more of the idea of our history, our culture, our support for one another. So before I get into all those details, let me do the preliminary. Let me tell you all about me. Most of you know me by now. You've been following me. Wow, we've been doing this show, I think, since March or so of this year. So we've had a lot of good topics, and we just keep bringing them forward. I'm having fun doing them. So, Angela Hardy, owner and operator of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, located at 519 North Charles Street, where finally it's all about you. We specialize in massage, skincare, hair, nails, detox. Even have a private hair loss clinic, which is Hair Amore. And, you know, I just absolutely love what I do, and I am blessed to have a team of individuals who absolutely give their all and love what they do as well. So we follow our passion, and we know that everything else falls into place. All right, so that's the preliminary. That's the fun stuff. Let's get back to hashtag Black love. Hashtag Black love. So I invited some couples and some individuals on tonight, and the way that I, you know, chose who I was asking to be a part of the show, not really co-hosting, but just having a general discussion, on-air discussion. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to have multiple people in at one time, and we're going to kind of sit back and, you know, kick our feet up like we're in the living room and just have a conversation. So first thing I did was say, wow, when I think of black love, I think of that the utmost respect. And again, this inspired couple, this gentleman I call my baby bro, he better call in, but I call my baby bro, he always referenced, you know, his significant other as his queen. Now, I don't really hear that in other race and cultures. I don't really hear people saying, you know, that's my queen in Caucasian race. I don't really hear, and, you know, whatever you think of, I don't really hear people say queen and kings as much as I do in the black community. Why is that? Why do we take the time to elevate our mate on that level of being a king or queen? Why do we feel like that is showing the utmost respect? Now, for all of you who may feel like saying a guy's your king is a little too much, for those maybe because of religious reasons feel like recognizing your mate as your king is a little too close to the one king on the throne. You know, we all have our different beliefs when it comes to spirituality and religion. Please understand, I'm not elevating that man to be God, okay? So I always like to get that out the way. So we can eliminate that. Nobody's saying, oh, there's only one king, one God. I get that. But there is a different level of respect in our community for those relationships that stand the test of time. We often see challenging relationships. We often see the bad things. We see the fights in the elevator. We see the people getting beat up. We see the court cases. We see the baby mama drama. We see the disrespect. But when we see black love at its highest peak, we see the respect. We see the nurturing. We often see just the support of one another. You know, so what makes it different in our community than any other community? And what is those ingredients that we need to stand the test of time in our community? You know, so often I say, wow, it must be hard being a black man out here. You know, whether we look at it from the standpoint of the news and the police, whether we look at it from the standpoint of just the complexity of dealing with that balance of, you know, I always said God gave me a daughter for a reason, because there's a balance you have to have with your son. That young man needs to be tough enough and strong enough to handle themselves, but then you don't want him to be too tough and strong when he come across a little thuggish. So it's like, you know, no, I don't want to raise no punk, but on the same token, I need him to still be balanced. You know, it's like I've heard people say before who live in the county, I got to take my son in the city to go play basketball so he can get some real competition. Or I got to take my son in the city so he won't be scared when he go in the city. He needs to be balanced. So, you know, maybe it starts that early. I don't know, y'all. Y'all know I start to go on a tangent. I get into it because this is just exciting to me. And the first couple that I want to bring up, I didn't get a chance to get this couple to send me what they wanted me to let you all know about them. So this is coming straight from the heart. And, you know, it's a little biased because, hey, I love these people right here. These two people right here have been an example of black love for me many, many times. And they probably don't even realize how much they've been observed in my, you know, as I grow and as I continue to build who I am and as I continue to seek the relationship that I want. They probably don't even realize how I just sit back and watch them and how I adore them and how I, you know, actually respect and honor what they share with one another. And I'm sure they'll be the first to tell you it's not easy. I'm sure they'll be the first to tell you that they've had their concerns, problems, and issues that, you know, is real life. But they're still there. And they've grown together. They've, you know, transitioned from being young adults, almost children, to adults, to parents, to just to the point where everybody does not make that happen. Everybody can't transition in that way. It's pretty hard to meet someone in your 20s and still be interested and like them, you know, in your 40s. That's really hard, because I know me personally, who I was in my 20s is totally different than who I am now. I know who I was dating early on in my life, no way, not interested at all. I hope y'all not listening to this, but I know in my early, like, 22s and all that, no, we're not compatible. Mm-mm. And I couldn't imagine 20 years later still with that same person or people. So, you know, it's just to the point where I realize that Black love should be celebrated, but it also should be dissected. We should get to the heart of it. So, hey, I've done enough talking. I'm going to bring up Danielle and Rodney, one of the first couples online. Hold on. Let me bring them in. So this should be Danielle. Is this Danielle?
Yes, this is Danielle.
All right. We have Danielle, but we can't have Danielle without Rodney. Let's make that happen.
Rodney,
are you there?
I am.
That's
here.
What's up. All right. So let me give full disclosure, y'all. Danielle and Rodney just happen to be, you know, my sister and brother. So let me explain. It doesn't sound crazy to say my sister and brother, and I'm talking about love and marriage and all that. No, it's not nothing crazy like that. Y'all trip. Okay. Danielle is my sister. Rodney is my brother-in-law. But when you have the type of love and respect that I have for Rodney, you drop the in-law. And being that he's been around for so long, this is where you get my sister and brother. So welcome, Danielle and Rodney. I'm trying to make
you trying to make me blush. You know I'm too dumb for all that.
Oh, shut. Welcome, y'all. This is your first time on Total Empowerment.
Hey, what's
happening? Yeah, what's up?
y'all don't understand. This is big. Total Empowerment. This is the first time that my sister and brother has been on the, you know, Total Empowerment Talk Radio with me. So I'm excited, super excited, because not only do I have y'all on here for the first time, I have y'all on here with a topic that both of y'all know I can't wait to learn something. I mean, y'all know, Total Empowerment audience, y'all know me. I keep it real. Every month, y'all get all up in my business. Y'all learn a little something new about me. And if anybody know me, y'all know I love. Like if somebody should have gave up on love by now, it could have been me. I could have been like, I throw in the towel, I'm done. But I keep coming back, right? I keep coming back. It's like that desire, like, no, I ain't done yet. It's somebody out there. I keep coming back. Like, I keep getting knocked out. I'm like, nope, can't get to them now. So I'm excited to hear, one, first of all, let's just back up. How y'all meet? Who are y'all? Give me a little bio about the Bigs. Tell me about the Bigs.
Go ahead, babe. Let me start.
All right. We met in college sweethearts. Met University of Maryland, College Park. I guess it was end of sophomore year, junior year. And we actually started out as friends. And we dated for 6 years. And we've been married for 16.
You can't hear that? Wait a minute, let me repeat that. I don't think everybody heard it. They said they met in college.
That's right.
Met in college, okay? So I'm going to reflect on my college years. Now, Danielle, you know a lot of times, let me just say, my sister and I, we have a wonderful bond. But my sister and I, she was always the second mother. So there were some times where big sis ain't know what little sis was doing, because that's like telling my mama what I'm doing, okay? So let me set the stage for y'all. They met in college, y'all. my first year in college was at Eastern Shore, UMES. It was nothing out there but cows in trouble because we had to figure out what to do with all the stinky cows, right? So who I was dealing with in college, who I was, you know, hanging out with in college, it probably weren't in my best interest now that I'm, you know, I'm in my late 30s. So let me break that down because I don't think y'all got that. They met in college. So that's the years when you're going to try a little something here, you're going to try a little something there. You know, that's the college years.
So that's what it was, man. You tried me. You was trying me.
No, that's Angie talking. I'm just keeping it real. This is total empowerment. So they met in college.
You tried me, huh? I like that.
I tried.
Tried a little something here, try a little something there. Then they dated for 6 years. Okay.
Yep.
But then, after dating for 6 years, total empowerment, they've been married for 16 years.
Let's talk about the dating for
the
6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Be careful, because, you know, people hear, oh, you dated for 6 years, and what took you so long to ask that lady to marry you and things like that,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Break it down, baby.
You know, you know, it wasn't that difficult, but... Like we talked about in the beginning, we were young. We were still finding ourselves. We were, you know, looking for whether it was postgraduate studies, trying to start businesses, what kind of jobs we're going to be in. And, you know, for me, I never wanted to take Danielle and ask for her hand in marriage, not being sure of who I was and who she wanted to be. Because you never want to go through a relationship or marriage and have question marks in the back of your mind like, oh, if I didn't marry him, what would I have been doing? Or if we didn't stay together, you know, I could have done something else. So, you know, that time was very crucial because there was a lot of growing. You know, I can admit that, you know, the most growing in my life, you know, came and those college years were very influential in just my growing and recognizing again who I am and what kind of man I was aspiring to be. So, you know, that 6 years, it wasn't just, you know, we playing around with something and trying to figure out and sowing wild oats and all of those things. Those 6 years were, you know, they were real crucial in the development of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't, let me ask, they weren't break up, make up. They were six,
right,
for the most part, consecutive years of growing together.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's what I want to add, that we never, yeah, I was going to say that during those 6 years, you know, a lot of times in relationships you break up, you know, we going to take a little break.
Well, you said you never like labels. That was the whole thing. So.
No, I think that was you. You ain't like labels. I was like, you going to be my boyfriend? What is this? You were like, I don't know what this is. But anyway, it was a consistent 6 years.
That's right.
Which, you know, that's rare. We didn't, that whole breaking up, we realized that we're going to do this, and we need to talk about stuff and communicate. But that breaking up, I ain't going to talk to you, and then, you know, it just didn't happen.
Right, and that's awesome. So I've been married for 16 years. So we got some more callers and more people that we're going to bring in on our discussion. But before I bring someone else in on this discussion, Marty, let me ask you something, because, you know, I can shoot the breeze with Danielle all day. But let me ask Rodney something. You know, it's not really an uh-oh, but I want the real on this.
Okay.
So I guess you guys heard the intro why I, you know, was intrigued to do the topic Black Love. So then when I started looking at the history, you know, I took it way extra. So I started looking at the history of Black relationships. I started looking at the history of how, I mean, I even went into the slavery time, how, you know, at one point the men did this, and the reason why we were elevated as queens because we had to be sure that the male perspective of us, they didn't lose it in making the money. And it was just like really deep stuff that I was studying, okay? But it came back down to this, and this is your question, Ronnie.
All right.
What is it about being a Black male that you feel like there is a almost an extra, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you feel like there is an extra need or there is a higher level of support and respect that is needed from Danielle?
An extra level of support and respect needed from
as
me or
nail.
Needed from
Needed from her. Do you feel like as a black male, you need your wife, you need your partner, you need your mate to respect you as a man, to support you in a way where you may not feel as supported outside of your home as a black
male? I definitely agree. No, I definitely agree. But there's also a level of respect that should be earned as well. It's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
respect shouldn't be something that's just given to you just because of, you know, who you are. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of work, you know, to earn someone's respect. And, you know, for my mate, of course, you know, I expect a certain level of respect from her. But, you know, for much as... the respect that I'm looking for, I work hard to earn that from her and give her those things so she can respect me, and hopefully that she gives me that respect. So, yeah, I definitely
he shut
agree.
It down, y'all. He shut it down. We don't need you to say that now. Well, I mean, you can just breathe at this point. Just breathe. You shut it down. But okay, so respect. Respect is not just something that he expects, but it's something he earns. All right, on that note, we're going to see what the next person got to say. I mean, golly. Person calling from 854, I'm picking you up now. You're on with Total Empowerment. Who am I speaking to?
This is Felicia.
Hi. Hello, Miss Felicia. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having, well, us. But John is not available to be a part of the show this evening.
I understand. I hear that. Well, you're on with myself and also Danielle and Ronnie. I'm sure you heard them talking a little bit about their relationship. But Miss Felicia,
yes.
So, before I allow you to chime in on this great discussion, I want to tell you what I see when I see you and John together. I see a couple who, huh?
I said,
you
okay.
There? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
I see a couple who has gotten into this groove of a friendship and enjoy one another. And I know for a fact, y'all, I don't want y'all to think that I assume that these couples have no concerns, no problems, no issues. It's real life. We get that. But when I look at you two, the reason why I wanted you to be a part of this show is because when I see you two, I see a playful friendship in your marriage. Now, you could say you're absolutely wrong, girl, the man get on my nerves, but hey. But that's what I see. I see a playful friendship in your marriage, and I see that youthfulness that you guys never lost. And so when I was sitting here reflecting on what couples I wanted to invite on this show to be serve as guests and co-hosts, it came to mind you all, and I don't really know you as intimately as I know Danielle and Rodney, haven't really known you all long, you know,
right.
But in my observation, I see that you enjoy him and he enjoys you. So with that being said, let me know, would you say that's accurate information, and give me a little history about you and your hubby.
Sure, that is very accurate. Like I've always told people, John and I are better as best friends. Man and wife, we somewhat struggle. We've been married since 1985, which we're going on 30 years, December 23rd. It has been a struggle. It has been an up and down, but it's a rewarding battle, so to speak. We know each other inside and out, and we do have a playful friendship because he is my best friend, first and foremost, no matter how I'm feeling, what I'm feeling. You know, sometimes we butt heads, but then again, we remember our vows, and that's something we take seriously. And we keep the friendship because we leave our conversations open. You got to keep it real, and you got to keep it interesting, and you just can't shut down because you feel like shutting down. And that's something that we're both good at, is figuring it out as we go. We, you know, we we started out very young. John and I, we met up when I was actually 5, and I think he was about 8. And his mom was babysitting me at the time. I was over at my dad's house, and we lost touch, and then we reconnected after many, many years. I was going to buy a birthday present for my girlfriend, and he was, of course, out helping his friend with doing some stuff. And he was playing around, and I was like, get out my way. And then I'm like, oh, my God, that's Sean. And then we started talking. And from talking, we started hanging out at the arcade back in New York, where we're originally from. And we moved forward. I was going away to school, and he said, do you want to marry me? And I said, sure. It was plain and simple. And ever since then, we've been married. We had our first child when I was 19. He was 22 or 23. And, you know, now we have 3 girls. They're grown, and we still play. We still have a good time. And we actually got to grow up with the girls, so I think we grew as friends just from that experience.
Wow, thanks for sharing all of that. I'm actually going to invite Danielle and Rodney. Danielle?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. I'm going to actually invite Danielle and Rodney, as well as you, Felicia, to just have a, let's just have an open forum about this. My first question actually is, I told you, Rodney, what you already said, you can breathe for a minute. Just breathe for a minute. But, but Danielle and Felicia, you know, my first question to you ladies is, have you ever, and Felicia, you were rather young when you got married, and Rodney, this is no disrespect to you, but have you ever dated outside of your race? And if so, was there a difference in dating outside of your race and dating outside of the Black community? Do you see Black love to be different, or is love love regardless of race? It doesn't matter what the race is. It doesn't have to. You need a strong love and base regardless. And that question goes for the ladies that's on the line.
Well, I want to answer that question. I did, before John, and once again, I was rather young, so it wasn't even dating. It was of interest. I did run into a young man that I was, you know, he was attractive. He was an attractive white guy. He was Italian. And we kind of hit it off, and this is before I ever met John, you know, probably a few months prior. We hit it off. The only thing is he was much older, and I don't know. To me, in my mind, I think he was curious, but what halt my situation with him was that my aunt, she is pro-Black. So when I was talking to her about, you know, I've seen this guy, he's cute, he's Italian, she's like, skirt, we don't do that. You stay within your own. We ain't playing that. We don't, you know, we don't get down like that. That's how my family, well, that's how she was, you know, is anyway. And then she started, you know, explaining different things to me. And the more that she explained to me, it's the more that I started to just say, well, I shut it down. And after that, I always wondered what would have ever happened throughout that, because he was a really nice guy, but I just never was able to take it any further than that. Hey, how you doing? Because no one, you know, I don't know. I had respect for my family and what they felt and believed, so I just let that go.
Angie, I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
Okay, so we're keeping it real. Bonnie, don't kiss. So, and it wasn't anything serious. I just brought home a white guy, and I think he liked me, but it wasn't, like I said, anything serious. And the funny thing is, you know, Daddy, he was a little shocked. And so it was one of those things, like, it really didn't go further. But I think from a standpoint of, like, Black love, when you think of cultural and the things that you have, of the same interest and the same, you know, cultural and different heritage, your heritage and things that somebody of the same culture that you, you know, could participate and experience is different if you're with somebody outside your race. And as you get older, you think about that. But then, you know, I think about where we live. Yeah, I live in Columbia, and you think about there's so much, so many mixed Black-white couple. They call it the melting pot. And so sometimes I do question, like, okay, you got to look at the person as well. So it's one of those things where it's like you look at the person, but also there's some culture and some history that you don't get when you date outside your race.
Mm. Now, Rodney, your breathing point is over. Rodney?
Oh, hello?
I'm sorry.
I understood he was on mute, so I was just waiting for him to pick back up. Rodney, let me ask you, I kind of opened up, thank you, ladies, for sharing that. I opened up speaking about how one gentleman will elevate his mate and reference her as his queen. I don't know if elevate is the right word, but he'll reference her as his queen. One, is that relatable to you? And if so, why do you think that is done? Because I don't, like I said, I don't hear other communities or cultures speaking that way and saying, this is my queen, you know, this is my queen, Danielle. And this, you may not say it every day, but you may have that perspective of her. You may have that level of respect for her. Why do you think in the Black community that we need to elevate it to that level, to that title of respect?
Well, personally, I don't use the word queen, but I think a lot of times we get caught up so much trying to say things but not actually living those things. So, you know, maybe I don't say the word queen, but every day that I'm living, she is my Black queen. So she gets treated, you know, as such. She gets treated, you know, not someone that follows me, but someone that's alongside of me in everything that I do. And, you know, truly my queen makes me better. But all that said, I think we need to, you know, because again, our queens are out here, they're working. You know, I have a wife who's a professional woman. She has challenges every day of her life. You know, it's an interesting you know, topic, because a long time ago at a workshop, there was a speaker speaking, you know, just basically just talking about minorities and the workplace and just the different challenges that we all go through. But just as a Black woman, knowing what she has to go through, as a man, I can look at myself in the mirror and say, all right, I'm ready to go to work. But never do I have to worry about, am I dressed right for work? Is am I showing too much skin? Is my hair the right way? You know, so all of those things that, you know, my wife has to deal with, along with just doing her job as being, you know, a professional woman and being my wife, you know, those things are highly, you know, can be highly traumatic, you know, and just you know, very difficult to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, elevating my queen is so important to me. So that's definitely, I think that's something that we all should strive as men to, you know, just to look a little deeper at our women and understanding what they have to go through on a day-to-day basis.
You better push on.
Ladies, do you all have anything to say in response to that? Felicia, anything to say?
Oh, that was well said. Well put.
Well put.
Let me shut it down again.
We gotta get some more men on here to represent. I mean, Ronnie is showing off. He's showing off tonight, y'all. No, I will say what Rodney is saying, again, being a silent observer, it's not just words, it is actions. And I thank you for how you love my sister, you know. So it's not just words, y'all. It's not just, it's sincerity.
No,
right, right. It sounded, I mean, it came across sincere. You know, I mean, when he spoke from the heart, that's what I mean by, well, you could tell that was a really deep thought that came out to light.
Yeah, Daniel, you can stop showing all them 32 teeth.
I know, right? I'm just very appreciative that, you know, because some husbands may not recognize when you are working full-time, you know, mother, you know, wife, and all the demands when you're at work, and it's just like, wow, you're just always on. So to have, you know, a husband and be like, okay, you busy, and you're doing stuff during the day just like me. And it's like, you know, we both in it together. When we come home, we both tired, but we both still got to, you know, communicate, love each other, and support and build each other up.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
right. Sounds good. Now, let me actually, before we have more callers coming in, callers, if you're interested in joining in the conversation, remember to press 1. If you're just listening, you're good. But if you want to actually talk and join in on this awesome conversation, remember to press 1. We're going to come back, you guys. I'm actually going to play a little short commercial. We're going to come back and shed more light on this topic of black love.
Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, located at 519 North Charles Street in the historic area of Mount Vernon, Baltimore. We are your one-stop holistic beauty and pampering center, offering hair, nails, massage, skin care, a hair loss clinic located in a private area, and other beauty enhancement services. Call to schedule an appointment today, 410-483-9355. We are open 7 days a week and offer a variety of savings specials. Come in today to try one of our signature packages, such as a one-hour massage, a spa manicure and pedicure, or 120-minute detox package. Packages start as low as $120. Call 410-483-9355 to book your appointment. Our website is dayspasw.com. We look forward to servicing you at Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa.
All right, Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. And just a shameless plug about Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, we have a two-day natural hair workshop coming up. It is a two-day boot camp, healthy hair with a holistic approach. Usually I teach a healthy hair with a holistic approach for 10 weeks. I teach other classes in a workshop form. Well, I'm doing an end-of-the-year special and giving you all I got. And with that being said, I'm doing a combination of classes in 2 days, giving it to you, intensifying what you know, what you don't know, and how to do it. It'll be theory and practical. So if you're interested in taking that class, call Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa at 410-483-9355. That's 410-483-WELL. You want to leave your name and number for me to call you back? I'm very selective about who I give my energy to, y'all. And so there is a pre-screening admission that needs to be done, just a conversation. But let's move on to this great conversation of black love, where we have Danielle Diggs and Ronnie Diggs, as well as Miss Felicia, who's representing her and her hubby, John. We also have another caller holding in that I'm going to bring up. I see them playing around. I can't figure out if they want to join in the conversation or they don't. They keep going back and forth. But caller, starting with the number 655, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in and hope that you just getting a little confused with the phone. Okay, so caller, this is Angela Hardy with Total Empowerment. May I ask who I'm speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, you're live. This is Angela. Who's this?
I knew that number. Hey, Aunt Pat.
Now, you know
right,
what?
Aunt,
okay.
I think it's a pleasure to just go look on my cell phone and see a post on my timeline. I'm under the weather today, but I thought maybe I could still get a call in.
I'm so happy you did. Real quick, because I don't know if you have, you told me you had choir rehearsal this time or anything. Let me just tell y'all, because y'all know I got an introduction for everybody that called in. So I didn't even call my aunt. This is my Aunt Pat, y'all. I didn't even call her and say, hey, Aunt Pat, I'm doing a topic on black love. I wanted to know if your Uncle Brian could be a part of it. Nope, I ain't do all that. Then I knew that she told me on Thursdays that she usually had choir rehearsal, she may not be available. But I also know my aunt. She's like ride or die fun. So I was like, worst case scenario, she going to be like, I like that picture of me and my husband. So let's give it a try. So I went ahead because I wanted to celebrate black love. And when I think of black love, Aunt Pat, I really do think of you and my uncle. So
praise
I'm
Lord.
So happy you called in. I'm like so excited that you're on the phone with us, that you're on, you know, live on air with us, because I know, one, Danielle, we got memories of you getting married, you know, in the house we grew up in.
Yeah.
Danielle has memories of being your
flower girl.
Yeah, she was a flower girl, you know.
I remember that. Okay, I want to say now, correct me if I'm wrong, was it One in a Million? Oh, One in a Million. Was that the song?
Who's
the song? Nobody knows the song? Oh, my goodness.
Know.
Okay, well, my memory might be better than some other people on this phone. Yeah, I remember the song, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Like, I remembered that. That is one of the vivid memories in my head for childhood. And so, though you were, hey, you were doing what you're doing, getting married, and you had no idea at age, I want to say five, because, yeah, I probably was around 5 years old when you all got married, that now at age 38, I still have those memories that are dear to me. And, it you know, it's something that I'm able to hold on to that you didn't realize the impact of 33 years later that I reflect on. I remember
Praise
the song.
Lord.
I remember Danielle, you know, can't wait for somebody to cue her to walk down. She thought she was older than she was a flower girl. That was a funny day. But anyway, I remember all that, and I'm appreciative of having those memories.
Yeah.
So with that being said, as a veteran, because, I mean, we Miss Felicia, you're a veteran too, you know, but at this point, I want to say 33 years. Is that correct? 34 in February?
Well, February would be 35 years.
There we go. 35 years.
Thirty-five years.
What in the world? And I'm saying what in the world because, Aunt Pat, you know, you watch, you've seen marriages and you've seen divorces in my house. What have you learned in 35 years that you can share with the audience, with, you know, Danielle and Ronnie that's on the phone, with, you know, Felicia and John, because I think we all are able to learn. What have you learned specifically to loving your black man? I don't want to leave out the topic as black love. What have you learned specifically to loving your black man?
Well, the main thing that I have learned over the years and being saved in Christ, my husband and I was a blind date according to our eyesight, but growing into God's word, we know now that it was made to be together. We were blind, but God knew what he was doing. So that's one main thing that I have learned. The other thing is you have to be friends. You have to be friends. You have to look out for one another. You have to give space. You have to have fun. You have to do what you did when you did when you did. So if you're acting crazy back then, you still act crazy back now, right now. And excuse me because I'm under weather. I have a cold right now. But you got to have fun. You have to give him his desires that he like. It might not be what I like. We have to compromise. We have to go on trips. We have to just do certain things to build each other up. And it's been a rough ride. It's been a smooth ride. It's been happy days. It's been sad days. It's been days where I wanted just to leave. But in my heart, I know that he was meant for me, and he is a very, very good and loving and supporting husband and a father and friend, and he's just a well-known person to just love for who he is. And I'm not saying that marriages are easy because it's a job. It's a job. And like I said, it was sometimes where I just wanted to leave. You had to go through sickness. You had to go through family situations and so on. And sometimes money could be the problem of some things. But you have to know in your heart what you want in life and to work at what you have. And what I have is a beautiful husband. And my marriage is not perfect, but I love being in this marriage. And I love being in this place where God has us in right now. And hopefully what we do and how we do, it could be an impact on others who are going through certain things in their marriages that stay together. You know, just stay together. I try to emphasize on a loved one, but they have to do what they want to do for themselves. And the only thing I could do is just act on me and my husband try to be an impact on other people's lives. And 35 years will be February the 14th of next year. And I am just so appreciative. And just have to tell other people, hold on, continue to pray, and believe that everything that's going on is intentionally, but you have to strive for what you want. And what you want may not be what he wants, but you have to come together and compromise. You have to compromise and say, well, maybe this is not for me, but it might be for him. But don't stop him from doing what he want to do, and therefore he won't stop me from doing what I have to do, but we come together. We come together because my life might not be his life, you know. It's just got to work at it. And I love my husband. I hate him, too. Not hate him, but I dislike him, too, sometimes. But you have to work at it. Hey, Nisi, I love y'all.
We love you, too. Thank you so much for sharing. Are you hanging out with us or you got to go?
Huh?
Are you hanging out with us or you have to get off the line? Are you hanging out?
I'm going to stay on and listen to what y'all have to say because y'all might have something for me.
Well, wait a minute. I was saying before you just listen, we have, like I said, a marriage of going on 35 years, a marriage going on 30 years, a marriage going on 16 years. Y'all don't know. I'm just soaking this all in, like, give it up. Let me have all the information. Okay.
Yes.
So with that being said, first of all, do y'all have anything to say to each other? I don't want to, you know, take away the opportunity to share information and insight. Danielle, you have anything to say? Felicia, Ronnie, y'all good or what?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I appreciate your aunt, what she said about the, you know, sometimes you want to leave and the things that you go through because, yes, marriage is a job. It's a full-time job, and you can't sleep on the job, and you always have to, you know, have some type of things to get through what you're going through. You know, because even just the other day, we had a big blow-up, but as we walked away from the situation, we came back together just to say, look, this is what I meant, that's what you meant. And, you know, you just have to take it for face value. So, you know, as beautiful as it looks to other people, sometimes you're just going through things, and I'm glad mm-hmm. your aunt put that out there because it is so true, you know.
Right.
Because everyone tells me, everywhere I go, if I'm not with John, they're like, where's John? And I'm like, well, he's not attached to my hip. But, you know, but we go places as a couple, as a partner. And you always, when you see one, you do see the other. And I just realized that the other day. That is true because we are together. We're a unit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we make decisions accordingly. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is her Aunt Pat again. I might want to say that sometimes where in my relationship, I find it good to sometimes not always be with him because I am my own individual. And sometimes mm-hmm. you have to be by yourself. Sometimes you have to just do things that you like by yourself. And then when you come together, you could discuss what each one of you done together. It might not be what he wants or may not be what you want for him, but sometimes you got the individuality where you have to do what you want to do too. You know, it's good to
and
be
that's
together.
The thing.
It's good to be together, but I like dancing. You know, I like dancing. I like line dancing. He don't like that, but he gives me the space to do what I want to do. He likes mm-hmm. football. He likes this. He likes that, and I don't like it. But we come together as one and to discuss it. So, to me, it's not always being with him all the time because I don't like to be with him all the time.
And that's how we are. Because when I was doing the girlfriend circle, and not to cut you off, my husband actually wanted to be a part because my company is Thomas Creations. And when I started doing the girlfriend circle, he wanted to be a part of the girlfriend circle. And, you know, it's not like he's not a girlfriend, but the thing is that there's some women who feel better discussing things when men are not around. And although he's a big part of my company and a big part of my life, I didn't want to hurt his feelings because he has such great insights, but in the same token, he wanted to be right there. And, you know, I started trying to separate the two. Find things of your interest to go enjoy because there's a lot of things that he likes to do. He's a contractor. He has many, many, he probably has twice the amount of friends that I do, but I think he feels that when I'm off, that's our time. So, you know, that's kind of where we you know, clash because sometimes I need that space. So when I started venturing out all by myself, everybody's like, where's John? And that's when I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. And let me do this. You know, I mean, I love him dearly, don't get me wrong, but there is the me time. And the me time is, you know, when I do my thing. So,
yes.
So I totally agree.
Right.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you said I had a question for Ronnie, and I just wanted to know the male perspective. It's good.
No, I was just going to say really quick, I think it's important to have that balance. So I know for Rodney, you know, we try to make sure you go out, you have some fun with your friends and Vaughn, and I go out with my girlfriends and we come together. But you need that balance. Like, you know, it's good to be together, but I think it's also good to have that girl quality time and just your me time by yourself. That helps, you know, keep the relationship and nourish the relationship.
And also, I believe that you shouldn't be so serious all the time. You gotta have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta
yeah.
laugh. You gotta have fun.
Yeah. Life's too short.
You gotta have fun over the smallest little things that people think is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So let me ask y'all something, Ronnie. Did you have any input on that?
No, we good. I'm
yeah,
here.
You
on me,
Ronnie, hi. Are you there?
I couldn't hear. I'm trying to be. I'm at football practice too, so I'm double.
Yeah.
I'm multitasking.
Oh, I'm
right
sorry.
Now.
I didn't know. Well, I thank you for just listening. I'll stop.
No, we're good.
Okay. Did she have any input on that comment about just still being individuals, growing together, but having your own space and kind of you having your set, like Danielle said, you all have your set of friends and then you come together and, you know, it still allows you to, have individuality.
Yeah, but no, I think it's good because, you know, you are, I don't think anybody that's going to be, have a successful relationship if they're exactly the same, you know, the husband and the wife, and they do all of the same things. So I think they'll drive each other crazy. So, you know, just being real, you know, you have to have some separation time. And, you know, me, mine's not necessarily being around a lot of people. I'm an only child, too. So sometimes I just need to be by myself, you know, and I'm comfortable by myself. I don't have to be around a whole bunch of people. So, you know, so those things are definitely needed, I think, in a successful relationship. But, you know, definitely, like I said, what makes us different is what actually, the difference that we have is actually what makes us stronger because, you know, the things I'm lacking, hopefully she brings up, and she does bring up me, and hopefully I'm doing the same for her, so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And, you know, just, you know, I always like to reveal and just be as transparent as possible. Transparency for me is healing. Thank you, Ronnie, for sharing that. Transparency for me is healing. And so when I do this, I always tell people, that's total empowerment. Yeah, I know a lot of people say, oh, that topic was great or, you know, that particular interview really blessed my heart. But this is really a healing mechanism that I use for myself. And so piggybacking off of what Rodney said, I know one of the things that reflecting on my marriage, I'm divorced now, but one of the things reflecting on my marriage was that we worked together, we lived together. We did so much together, everything overlapped, you know, to the point of the frustrations of building a company and a business overlapped into our marriage, the frustrations of not having enough financially to go out on a date, you know, overflowed into how we spent that work day together, you know, to the point where, and I'm sure if I talk to Devin different, you know, now he probably feel differently. We have a friendship now, so he's already kind of shown me and told me some things that he believed then are different now. But at the time, doing something like date night, it felt like a chore, and it felt fake and processed to him. He wanted it to come naturally. Me personally, I was looking at it to the point where, look, we have got to schedule this time for one another so that we can block it off and go on dates together and do this and do that. And he was looking at it like, it shouldn't be by the book. It shouldn't be Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's time for us to go out. So, you know, I can see his perspective, and I'm sure at this stage in the game he could see where my perspective was, but that was a challenge, not having that separation, not having an individual, and having the stress in every aspect of our lives intertwining. I couldn't come home and say, how bad and how challenging my day was, because he was a part of those challenges, you know. And it was times where I was at work where I needed the hug from my husband, but he felt like he needed to be somebody else. So marriage can be complicated, you know. And with that being said, and then you start to think of some basic rules and principles that I'm not sure if we're applying in our relationships. And before I do that, there's a caller on the line at 675 number. If you want to join in, please press 1. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking and not knowing if you want to listen or partake in the conversation. But with that being said, yeah, they want to join in, y'all. Wait a minute. Let's see who this call is. 1 second. Caller, you're joining in on the party. Who is this?
This is Gabrielle Johnson. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling, Ms. Gabrielle Johnson. Did you want to join in on the conversation?
Oh, by all means necessary.
All right. It's a party. What you got for us before I ask my questions?
Would you say what I have for everyone?
Yeah, what did you want to share?
So I just had a chance to overhear at least only about like 2 to 3 minutes of the conversation and all what was going on. And I wound up to get a chance to overhear what you were saying as far as, you know, you and your husband actually working together, building a business together, and having to have that boundary and that space and that understanding between each other that, look, we have our work life together, and we have to have our marriage life together. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes in life, understanding and knowing that, you know, yeah, we work together, we live together, we start a business together, it's hard for us to decipher the two when it's time for us to turn off that business mode, to turn off that you're my colleague mode. We sometimes, us in a relationship, we don't know how to do that. And that is very, very important for those of us who is in a relationship or who is actually is married that owns a business together, because that brings a strain and a stress on the relationship. That brings a strain and a stress on to the marriage. And then sometimes in life, unfortunately, that's how divorces happen, simply because it's like, well, you don't know how to be, you know, more compassionate to me when we come home. And on the other hand, it's like, well, why should I? Like, we running this business together, it is what it is. But no, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes in life, we forget how we want to be treated. And when I mean we, meaning that it can be either the man or the woman. And when I say that, meaning is this. Everybody wants to be treated a certain way, in their own particular way. And no person wants to be treated the same exact way. So we have to understand that about our partner. We have to know that down to a T, because sometimes in life, especially for us women, and for those of you listeners that's out there, knowing that us women, we have those emotional days where everything is just making us sad, everything that's making us upset. And sometimes we need that hug. We don't know why we're upset. We're going through time. It's nothing detrimental, but we need that hug from our partner. We need that kiss from our man. We need that, you know what, it's okay, babe, I know I was a little bit upset earlier today, my apologies, I love you, we're going to get through it, it's okay. Us as women, we need that. And guess what, even if we were pissed off at you 2 to 3 days ago or even 2 or 3 hours ago, that would make our day all the more better. Because it's like, oh, he just apologized. Oh, my goodness, he just apologized. You know, I'm not even mad at him no more. I'm going to cook his favorite dinner. You know what? I don't even have enough money for lobster. But I'm going to go here and make my husband or my man some lobster. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. All because he apologized or all because he gave me a hug. And he know I'm stressing or he see me acting weird, but he still came up to me. So it's just a fact of the matter is we have to understand and know what our partner wants and what our partner needs. And that takes time. That takes a lot of time. And there's no set date on that. There's no such thing as, well, you should know your partner within the next year or two. No, because in life, people change for the good and for the bad and for the great and for the worst. People change. So we have to know and understand our partner to the fullest and always ask questions. I believe that, look, you ask questions until the day you die. until the day you got something wrong with asking a question, because you don't know what's going on with a person on the inside. You do not know. We have problems with our own selves daily, and that's our own personal problem. So what if we're married? Mm-hmm. So what if we're in a relationship? You may not know what I'm going through today. You don't know if I had a bad, a really, really bad argument with my boss, or I'm going through something with my parents or my family member. We need that. Are you okay? You need to talk about it. Are you upset? You pissed off at me? Look, we need to talk about this. You feel uncomfortable? So what? We in this relationship. I love you. You love me. We say we're going to do this together. And look, we need to talk about this. I can care less. We adults, right? We know how to communicate, right? All right, well, let's talk. We're going to make this happen.
Yes. And also, I want to piggyback on the caller's comment when she was saying compassion. Women do need compassion. We really, really need it. Over 35 years coming up for me, I still want you to hold me in the bed.
Yes.
I still want to let you know that, hold me. I need you to hold me, even if I don't even say nothing to you. Something is wrong. Just hold me. You know, so we do need compassion. We need that. Women need that.
Right.
No matter how long you've been married, no matter how long you've known him, you need to have a hug. You need to have a kiss. You got to. You need to know that you're loved. You're needed.
Right. And that is very true. And I thought, I'm 29. I just turned 29 on October
14th. You're
29? Yeah, I am. Yeah,
girl, go. Go ahead.
And I thought that, you know, as I get older, when I was a bit younger, I could say, like, you know, 10 years ago or so, I thought that when I get older, you know, oh, okay, I may not need as many hugs and kisses and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm 29, look, I need that. And probably when
you
I'm
need that, Miss Lady. You need
right,
that, Miss Lady. I'll be 60 years old. I need me a hug. I need me a
right.
kiss on my head.
Right. I need that.
I'll be 60 years old. I need it.
Right.
Well
and,
said.
And
well
that.
Said, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Well
right.
said.
Thank you.
Now, you need it. Hashtag I
need,
need
it,
right? I need it. Well said, ladies. And Ronnie, I know you're hanging in there with us at football practice, and we so appreciate it. We're going to give you a final word soon, but hang in there with us. Well said, you know, because I, too, was fooling myself, and you know, early on, like you said, maybe early 20s, and I remember dating, and the gentleman, I said, why you never buy me flowers? He said, just going to die anyway. What do you need to buy me flowers for? And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Why you never open my door? For what? I almost thought somebody had finished. And I thought I needed a buddy. But that really wasn't what I needed as a woman, as a female. I was settling because it was like, well, if I have a buddy, then that's better than no. No, I didn't need a buddy. I needed a mate. I needed, like you said, okay, hold me, be catering, you know. And,
yeah.
And a lot of times women reciprocate anyway because that's who we are, you know. So it to me, it took me to this point. It took me to go through my marriage of not receiving it to say I desired that and that's okay and not feel guilty about that. Because early on, you know, to my ex-husband's defense, he only did what he'd been doing. And I wasn't true to myself because I wanted a buddy. I wanted a friend and this and that. No, I really wanted more. I really wanted that charm. I really wanted the cater. I really liked that old-fashioned, you know, type of chivalry. But because I had allowed myself to say, hey, this is good enough, then this is good enough, continued on. And, you know, so I think what you ladies just shed light on, Gabrielle, I thank you for joining in on the conversation. And
oh,
I think what you ladies just shed light on just really was, you know, profound. We just had a caller that I don't know if your call dropped or not. It looked like you wanted to join in. Call us back. We got room for you. I mean, this topic is hot. It has the phone lines lit up. We have space for one or two more. So caller, whoever just got knocked off, give us a call back. I think it was an 839 number or so. But anyway, there it is. Give me one second. I'm picking you up now, 839. Total Empowerment Talk Radio. Got a hot topic going on. Black love. Who am I speaking with?
Dwayne Benbow.
Uh-oh, y'all. Rodney, they done called support. They done got another nail on the line for you. So, Dwayne, the ladies are on here, and we welcome you in on the conversation. We have just an open forum going. But I referenced earlier that this show was inspired by someone I call, you know, I call him Baby Bro, I call him Bimbo. I got so many nicknames for you. And truth be told, Dwayne and I just met within the last, I want to say, year. But it's something about this gentleman, this guy right here on the phone, it's something about him. Now, I'm sure you ladies, you know, when you meet good people, you can tell good stuff. You can tell good people despite whatever bumps in the road they may have, you know, hit on the way. You know good people at heart. And this is this guy, Dwayne, for me. I actually look at him like a baby brother. When Dwayne speaks, whether it's Facebook, and believe me, I don't get caught up on Facebook because, you know, Facebook can be called fakebook because people put out there what they want you to know. But when I see this gentleman in person, not on Facebook, not just on Facebook, when I see this person, this gentleman in person, he has the utmost level of respect for his faith, the utmost level of respect. And if I'm correct, was that your mate we just spoke to?
Yes, I'm listening.
I thought that was. Was that your mate that we just spoke to?
Yes, Gabrielle. Is she still on here, Gabrielle?
Yes, she is.
Yes,
so, I was listening. I've been listening. Yeah, I was in on a whole conversation for like the last 15 minutes, but I guess So I'm here now, you know.
You're here now. Let me just say one thing before you start talking, Dwayne, because I'm going to give you the floor. Gabrielle, as you all listened in, she came on and she pretty much dropped the mic. She said what she had to say, and it was profound, and it was far beyond the years of 29, in my opinion. And I feel like Dwayne kind of sets that same tone. So you all being such a powerhouse couple this early on, and it's safe, you guys aren't married at this time, right? You guys are not legally married at this time, but you guys have a unity and a bond that clearly does not get caught up on the legalities of it, to my understanding. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's mine.
Okay.
That's mine.
You guys having a bond so deep in allowing your light to shine so bright to others, what is it about your relationship that you decided, assuming that you may have been in a situation like many other people where you don't have an example of how to love as strong as you do, where your peers aren't in relationships where they love and respect one another at the level that you guys do? I want you to shed light on why you guys put so much emphasis on the respect and love that you have for each other. And then I want you to take the opportunity to speak to the veterans of 35 years, 30 years, 16 years, and so forth. So I'm going to actually give you all the floor now, hoping that since we heard Gabrielle, Dwayne, if you can share some light and start that off for us.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. I just feel that it's important that we were actually at a wedding not too long ago, and I was one of the best men, and I told him, when I proposed my toast, I said, "So we place so much focus on Black Lives Matter and black this and black that, black on black violence and everything." I said, when I proposed the toast, I said, "Black love matters," you know, and that was kind of like the chat, and everybody just kept saying, "Black love matters," and toast to this and toast to that, because it's really important that we really first focus on ourselves, get ourselves together, if it's reading a book, if it's seeking knowledge from someone that's older than you and wherever you're weak at, and really just embrace your mate. Like, early on in our relationship, I kept saying to myself, she's 29, I'm 28, and I just kept saying to myself that, I said, I want you to be a part of everything I represent, everything I represent. And I just kept saying it. And she kind of gave me that look like, what you talking about? But I just kept saying, I want you to be a part of everything I represent. That way we can continue to just strive together. You know every single person that I know, and we can strive for excellence and perfection together. Of course, we're going to go through our trials and our tribulations, but we're going to do them together. And I think that it's important that if you're an entrepreneur and your girlfriend or your queen or your wife or whatever you may call her, if she's an entrepreneur, or even if she just has a matter of some type of potential, I feel that it's the man's role to tap into that potential that she has and help her create and help her blossom. So that was something that I had kind of noticed early on in me saying that I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, you know, because growing up, all I hear is certain stuff like, you know, people say it's bros over girls. I say the PG-13 version, where they say bros over girls, and then the females, they say it's, you know, and we grow up hearing that, and then we go into the business side of things where it becomes, oh, you shouldn't do business with family, or you shouldn't do this with family. Why not do everything with family? You know, so it was something that I had actually learned through some trials and tribulations that I was faced with. And now that I'm the man that I've become and I'm continuing to strive for excellence and greatness, I just feel that it's important that whoever is on my hip, whoever is riding in my passenger seat, it's important that I embrace that person 100% and not hold back and allow that person to be heard. And there's no such thing as chauvinism. Like that's not important. What's important is really building, because she has a child. She has a daughter. I don't have any biological children, but I'm God's children, so a lot. So it's important that we create and we show her what it means to be a lady. It's important that I show her what it means to be a positive male role model in her life. And it's really bigger than the relationship. Like, the biggest part is the children that's around the relationship. Like, if the relationship is sustained, then it is sustained. If it becomes successful, cool. However, you got to put some type of mask on or something, because it's the individuals that's around. It's the family. Because marriage and everything and relationship in general is bringing together two families. So it's important that you pour into that child when you give her everything that is needed, so they'll know what it means to be a productive young lady or young man. That way, when they go to elementary school, they know what not to say. When they go to middle school, they know what not to do. And when they get to high school, they can really have that standard for themselves that I'm not gonna follow the trends. I'm not going to follow that crowd. I'm going to be that one fish that's going left while anybody else is going right. Like, it's important. And I knew early on, like, right now I'm racing to get to it. Right now I'm on a highway right now, racing to get to my baby. You know, and it's important that we embrace one another.
Thank you. Well said. So this has really been a great show, and it's not over yet, but we are winding down towards the end. I want to do two things. I want to first, Gabrielle, I want to give you the opportunity to ask a general question to the ladies online. And Dwayne, I want you to do the same and ask a question to Rodney. And you know, you guys may say, well, I ain't got nothing to ask, you know. But I really feel like in any situation, you can learn from one another. And you guys, to my knowledge, are the youngest one here, as well as relationship-wise, have had the shortest relationship. So I believe and I know that, you know, you guys have a strong love. You guys have a powerful love and a powerful presence when you're together. And so with that being said, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to ask the question that you may not have an example in your everyday life. But now you have multiple examples in front of you. So, Gabrielle, take that opportunity and ask one of these ladies, or just ask a general question, you know, that you might not have known who you could ask that to, or it could have just been something that came to mind just now. And, Dwayne, if you don't mind, do the same for Rodney. And then we're going to move on to one last segment, as well as allow our business owners to promote their services, because that's very important too. Gabrielle, you got anything?
Whenever I hear someone that says to me, oh, they've been in a relationship for 3 to 5, 6, 7, 10, 20, 30 years and plus, I'm like, wow, how did you do it? And the reason why I ask that question is I believe that it is never, ever more than enough, you know, knowledge that I can gain from each individual that has been in a relationship for more than 3, 5, 6, 15, 20 plus years, because that's what me and Dwayne are striving for, and that's what we're going to do. You know, we said that to ourselves, and we put ourselves in that position where there is no other option in life. And some people may say, how can you just tell each other that? No, when you know what you want, when you know who you are, when you understand that we're in this for the long haul, we're not pussyfooting around, we want marriage, this is what we want, then look, we need to gain and understand knowledge and wisdom, as well as wisdom, mainly wisdom, from the elders and the veterans. So I know the question that I just got finished asking was, how did you do it? How did you make it? I know that's not necessarily a specific type of question, but that's something that I feel as though me, since I'm younger, I need to know and understand, because for one, everyone else has been in a relationship longer than I. And I understand that me and him, we're going to have our days where we get upset and argue, but how did you all go past those arguments? How did you all get to the point where when your husband or your mate or your partner, whatever it is you want to call him, is upset with you, you just look at him and be like, all right, babe, it's cool. All right. And just walk in the next room.
Okay.
Can anyone, ladies? Yeah, let us know who you are.
This is Angela's aunt. Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, did I hear you say that you're not married?
Right,
and
not
you're
yet.
Living together? Okay.
No, we're not living together.
So I'll give you my story, because I lived with my husband for 3 years before we got married.
They're not living together, but go ahead and give us your story.
Oh, I thought they were living together.
Yeah, no, we're not living together.
Oh, beg pardon me. I'm sorry. But anyway, we were living together for 3 years before we got married. And during those 3 years, I seen potentials. I seen potentials of a person who could be a good husband, a good father. So after 3 years, we did get married. And I'm not going to say that it's been easy, it's been a good road, bad road, but it was something like, it wasn't really smooth all the time, but you have to work with it. You have to work at it. You have to go back and remember what you did to get together and how you could make it to stay together. And like I said, you weren't in the conversation at the beginning. We were a blind date. And after learning God's word, I realized that it wasn't actually a blind date to him, but in our eyesight, it was a blind date. So just to work at it. You have to work at it. You got to have fun. You can't always be mad with one another. You got to be not serious all the time. You just got to have fun. You got to laugh. You got to understand one another. You have to show compassion towards each other. And I've been married for 35 years in February. But like I said, it's not easy, but it's something that I want. It's something that he wants. And we had children involved in the relationship. But you have to work at it, because it's what you want. You're a father, you're a mother, you're a husband, you're a wife. You have to work at it. It's what you want. It's what you want in life.
All right. Danielle or Felicia?
All right,
Danielle or Felicia, you want to add anything?
Yeah, this is Danielle. I would just add one of the things that Rodney and I guess it was back in 99, we keep on our refrigerator. I'm looking at it now, pretty much faded. It's something we learned in counseling, and many of the women said it's tough, it's hard. We make sure we say this is definitely something that divorce is not an option. But when we talk mm-hmm. about conflict, we got this little acronym called TACT, T-A-C-T. The T is that you talk about it. We talk about everything. We always talk about communication is key. The A is you have to adapt, adjust, and accommodate. The C is compromise. And we talked a little bit about, you know, it's not always what you want. You have to compromise with your mate. And the last T in the acronym TACT is to tolerate. We do tolerate each other. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes, you know, you want to just say forget it, but there's, you know, you tolerate. So that was very helpful in our marriage, and we continue to keep that on our refrigerator. And like I said, we just look at it, and it's basically our resolution for conflict, and it's called TACT.
Mm. That was powerful. Thank you. And Felicia, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Okay, I apologize. I missed the question. I'm actually been at the hospital with a friend of mine, so I'm trying to multitask. So if you rephrase the question, because I was listening to the results and kind of missed the last part of it.
No,
problem,
Gabriel. She just wanted to hear your advice on how did you make it so far in your marriage? Just a general year.
Okay. Well, how John and I made it so far is, to be honest with you, we keep it 100. If we have to, like, just release some stress, some anger, that's what we do. But we try to hear each other. That's the main thing. Everybody is busy talking, but nobody is listening. So what you do is you have to pause and hear, listen, comprehend, accept the statement. And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth, but we have to take it in. So we both voice our opinions and accept it. Sometimes you have to walk away with it and marinate on what was said and adjust to it and adapt it and then come back to the conversation. But the way that we made it for so long is we've learned to walk away from the situation and then come back and discuss it once the heat has calmed down some. And
awesome.
That's how we've been 29 years, you know, together, without me killing him and then being in an orange jumpsuit, of course. But, you know, we both do our best to make sure that we hear each other. Because first and foremost, we're friends, you know.
Awesome.
And, you know, marriage is tough, but we are a good, we have a wonderful friendship.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And let me say thank you very much for those, such as Felicia and Ronnie, who are in the position to have to multitask but are still on here. I greatly appreciate it, and I don't take it lightly at all. Ronnie,
no worries,
is this a good thank you? Ronnie,
ladies,
is this a
I'm
good
gonna
time?
Ask you to. I'm gonna let you know I'm disconnecting. Thank you all for the conversation.
Oh, wait
okay?
a minute, Felicia, please tell us who you are. They want to get in touch with Girlfriend Circle real quick.
Oh, my name is Felicia Thomas. I'm with Thomas Creations. I do the Girlfriend Circle. We do wine and cheese. We come out to your home. You invite six of your girlfriends. And we also do wine and cheese mainly at Angela's Simply Wellness Spa. So if you ever want to set something up, come out. We treat you to wine, cheese, and a girlfriend time where you get to share, unmask, have a good time, and unload some of your frustrations or just get a simple laugh. We'll be there tomorrow night for Thank You for Being My Girlfriend dinner. That's a VIP. And seeing that we have a multitude of people coming out tomorrow night, we'll check it out, see how it is, and bring it back again. We are featuring Chef Warren. So he's actually cooking for you for free. You get to sample his food and give you a review. So hopefully we'll be doing it again. And if anyone needs to reach me, my number is 443-854-5756. And my website is www.thomascreations.net. Thank you kindly, and I enjoy the conversation. You all
thank
are wonderful,
you.
And thank you for all being in love. I appreciate you. Have a great
thank
night,
you.
Okay?
Good night.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
And like I said, we are winding down. Ronnie, is now a good time? Ronnie?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Hey, Dwayne, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I just, Rodney, really quick, I just wanted to give Dwayne an opportunity to just, because, you know, we don't always have mentors in our community. We don't always have examples in our community, especially on the topic of long-lasting relationships. So, Dwayne, there's got to be at least one question that you may have for this gentleman who's been married to his wife for 16 years, but been together much longer than that. So I just wanted to give Dwayne and Rodney an opportunity to speak, and then we're going to close out.
Okay, well, a question that I have is real straight to the point, I guess. When did you know that she was the one? Like, as far as how long were you guys in a relationship, and, like, how did you know? So,
no, realistically, we dated, again, if you didn't hear the beginning part of the conversation. We did date for 6 years. We met in college. You know, we were college sweethearts. It was a couple of times I knew she was the one. And I guess it's a multi-layered question. I thought she was the one for me. When it was one night when we were dating, we were just basically even, I don't even know if you want to call it dating. We, you know, we were friends and just hanging out with each other, and we wound up just sitting together and sharing, you know, with each other all night, just talking. And it actually, you know, wound up, you know, being from an evening to early the next day, pretty much, because the sun came up. So, you know, that was in my mind. That was in my mind. I say, oh, this, you know, this girl is special here. But, you know, it took some growing for me to understanding what looking for the one is. And that's when, you know, when my life took a change and wanted to understand who God was and what God meant to me. And I prayed on it. And, you know, you get that revelation and that understanding from God of what your mate is and what your mate should be and what kind of mate you should be for that woman. Then understanding of what you're actually looking for yourself. That was my, you know, that's when I realized that this woman is the one, the woman is the one that God placed for me and me only. So that was it, bro. That was it.
That's
one.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Wonderful.
I hear somebody
wonderful.
In the background laughing.
No doubt.
This has been a wonderful show. When I tell you, I've learned so much. I, you know, sometimes you get a little frustrated being single. I mean, I got all these couples on the line with me, but let me just be real for the single folks, okay? Sometimes you get a little frustrated being single. You're like, the dating pool suck. It ain't nothing out here. There is hope. There is hope. Love is, you know, love is still real. Chivalry is still alive. And there's the opportunity to share the bond that we've had the pleasure of speaking with tonight. You know, we've had couples on here, and I think we had about four couples, or at least four couples represented on here tonight. And it's inspiring. It's inspiring to know that everything is not ratchet, Bill, that everybody not out to get you, that you don't have to just settle for, you know, hey, let's just be friends with benefits. All of that cuddly buddy. I've heard somebody say that recently. With the winter months coming, they need a cuddle buddy. Or I don't know what they were talking about, y'all. But anyway, the point is, don't give up on love. Don't get caught up in the whole idea and perception that, you know, to be a real man, you can't be soft for your woman. Don't get caught up in, you know, to be a lady of the 2000s or wherever we're speaking of, that you got to be the one to just carry it all the time, that you can't be a lady, that you got to open your own door, carry your own bags. Let it go. The art of femininity needs to come back for everyone. Don't let society or what we see as mainstream be your truth. Please know that black love is real, black love is strong, and black love is out here. And with that being said, if there are anyone, you know, who just feels like, hey,
I don't have the mentor. I don't know how to do it. I didn't see my parents marry. I don't have an example of how to deal with this joker that's really getting on my nerves. Pray. That's all I got for you. Pray, because you're not always going to have a mentor, but you're always going to have guidance. Okay? And so whether you're spiritual, religious, whatever it may be, sit with yourself and have a minute and just say, you know what? And sometimes you may need to pray for that mentor. We had the opportunity tonight where we did some mentoring. You know, so I'm telling you all, total empowerment is always about empowering. But on this show, we not only want to empower you tonight, we want to inspire you tonight. We want you to hold on to love. We want you to realize that unconditional love is still there. It's possible. It's not a matter of being weak. It's not a matter of just giving in or feeling like you're going to be taken advantage of as a lady. Be vulnerable. Be transparent for the right person. So I said a mouthful, and before I do my closing, Dwayne, I know you are a self-employed business owner. If there's anyone else on this line that want to promote a business or service, feel free to do so. This is the opportunity for, you know, you to just share with the public who you are and how they can reach out to you. Dwayne?
Okay, well, my name is Dwayne Benbow. That's Benbow. I'm on Facebook as Dwayne Benbow. I will ask that you please, you know, follow me. Some of the stuff I'm doing out in the community. Me and Gabrielle, well, I'm a co-founder of Tasty Pillow Treats. It's a business that me and Gabrielle are currently running. And it's just typically just cotton candy at the moment. We're instituted with a few different schools. And also, I have a snowball machine also. So it's not just cotton candy. We also providing different individuals, snowballs. We're at the Emerson High School homecoming. We're doing everything out in the community. I ask that you please just follow me on Facebook, on Instagram. My Instagram is Castle Keeper, Castle with a K, so that's KASTLE Keeper, KEEPER, and that's it.
Thank you. Was there anyone else that needs to share a business or service?
Yes, I'd like to share my two daughters' businesses. One is Mini Miracles. She is a licensed child care provider, and she's very good. She loves the children. You can contact her on 443-762-6890. Also have another daughter who has custom-made T-shirts. She does custom-made T-shirts, and her business is Charismatic Creations, LLC. You could contact her on her website, www.charismatic.com, I believe. But it's
please
Charismatic Creations, LLC. What is
and
it?
How do you spell Charismatic?
K-H-A-R. Wait a minute, let me see this right here. It's KHARISMATIC, and Creations is KREATIONS, LLC.
And she also, her name is Kelly, and she also created Simple Wellness T-shirts. And so we support Charismatic Creations with Simple Wellness. And was there anyone else that needs to share?
Yes.
Oh,
hello?
I'm sorry, somebody saying yes? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, this is Gabrielle. So just as Dwayne spoke with the cotton candy, Tasty Pillow Treats, as well as I make hair gel for black women, and it's called Jazzy J. It's all natural. So natural, you can actually eat it. That's how natural it is. You can look me up on Facebook, which is my full name, Gabrielle Johnson, and the way how you spell my name is G-A-B-R-I-E-L-L-E. Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. So follow me, please look me up, and we will have more in store for everyone. Thank you.
Gabrielle, we gotta sit down and talk. That hair gel may be something I need to find out more about.
Okay.
Well,
you know how to get in contact with me.
There you go. Well, it has been a wonderful show. I have been honored to be your host. I am Angela Hardy,
owner and operator of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, where finally it's all about you. Give us a call at 410-483-9355. That's 410-483-WELL to schedule your massage, skincare, hair, nails, detox, an appointment in our private hair loss clinic, or just any other services that we offer, such as classes and coaches. We have a two-day boot camp coming up for natural hair, natural hair workshop coming up. Again, it has been a pleasure. You've been listening to Total Empowerment Talk Radio, where beauty is enhanced both inside and out. Angela Hardy saying, love yourself, let go, and let God, and please stay out of your own way. Life is good, y'all. Take care and have fun creating the life you desire.
Got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule.